Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to the Transformation Cafe with your host, Robin Misevich. Transformation Cafe, a weekly half hour of light, topical conversation about health, wellness, happiness, personal growth, spirituality, and other insights. We're glad you're here. Transformation Cafe, a fun place to nourish your soul. Now, let's get started and introduce our diners for tonight's show.
Well, hey, everybody. I want to welcome to the Transformation Cafe. I'm your host, Robin Misevich, and tonight we're going to be talking about quality versus quantity time finishing up the five languages of love. And just all these lovely ladies that I love. Let me go ahead and get my sister, Miss Amy. How are you tonight?
I am so sad. Nobody wants to do anything with me that I want to do. I have no quality time in my life.
Okay, well, we're going to talk about the perspective on that.
Oh,
and Miss Alana, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing fantastic. I've had all the quality time I can take today. So.
And she's had a lot of cooling going on today, and you know, hopefully a little bit of that quality time was for yourself. You know what?
Quality
I think that's
time
a really good them. Theme. Yes. Why don't we look at if I did this for myself? What would that look like? There we go. That might be a neat way of looking at this whole conversation. So, I got online. Yet.
Well,
yeah. Go ahead.
Let me throw in a couple things. First off, right, we talk about quality time, right, with others and relationship. This just came to me as you said that. What is quality time with yourself?
Well, that's what I'm saying. You know, maybe this would be a really fun this would be a really neat conversation to say doing this for yourself. With yourself. I think this is going to be way more interesting than I had anticipated. And I am calling this a soulful connection. So that's definitely something that, you know, connecting with yourself. Because, you know, it's just like anything else. It's that old adage that, you know, when you're in an airplane, you put the oxygen on yourself first. Hello. Let me give myself some quality time and make sure that it's quality. Yes. And, you know, I think it should be quality and quantity if we're going to be doing stuff for ourselves. Okay. I'm just gonna say that, but you know,
I'm gonna take a lot of
being.
I think
being caretakers, being people that want to go out there and really just try to be somebody who can really be helpful in the world. We don't necessarily put ourselves first. It's always like, oh, well, let me help them, that kind of thing. But like I said, if we're making sure that we're getting the oxygen, you know, the soul that breathing that we need is something that can really help us. And I think that's a great. You know, it's not on the list that I was going to go through, but breathing, having a mindful breath, I think is the number one thing that you can do for yourself when it comes to self-care, of being able to just, like, excuse yourself into the royal room, go to the bathroom, and just, like, sit on the throne for a second and just take a nice couple deep breaths and just catch
the queen
yourself.
It's not available.
It's on the throne.
I wish that
Absolutely.
Worked.
Absolutely. That's a good queen, yeah. You know, oh, I need a little more tissue. Okay, here we go.
So let's, Robin, I know that we've got, you know, the flower wisdom moment that you're going to do, and I know Alana has prepared a perfect quote for us. I'm sure that, you know, we're going to have a mindful moment, but I'm thinking, because you said that, let's just take a moment. Because we're all running from wherever we were, right, to be on this podcast together. And let's take in, you know, a breath of quality time with our soul self, our higher self.
Mm-hmm.
And then breathing out the stuff from the day that maybe we're ready to release. Nice.
Yeah. Get that away. That's giving it a voice,
dad
for
right
sure.
And then breathe in that soul connection, that higher self, that part of you that wants time with you but can't catch up with you, and breathe out separation. So what if it's that simple?
It is that simple. That's why it's so hard to do. We're like, oh, if I had to really work at that, then maybe I'd make time for that. But when it's so simple... And it's something I think you can catch yourself in every moment and be, you know, bringing yourself back to that. So I think, you know, through this conversation tonight, you know, hopefully there'll be some things that you can kind of put a pin in and just say, oh, when I do that. Like, number one, is making eye contact. It's about, you know, being able to truly see, you know, they're saying, you know, the eyes are the gateway to the quality of time with your partner. And we've talked before on the show about Louise Hay, and one of the most profound things that she ever taught was using a mirror and looking at yourself in the mirror. There's so many people who don't know really how to look at themselves. I mean, they may look like, do I look okay? Is my makeup good? You know, how do I look? Is it time for my, you know, my selfie? When you're really just gazing into your own eyes and seeking to ask questions of yourself, it can be just in a totally more profound and have such a depth to it. So what do you guys think about that? About, you know, just taking some time to really look at yourself in the mirror.
And I think, I don't mean to be petty here, but if I take the time to put on some lipstick and some blue liner, I feel 1,000% better working in my day.
And, you know, studies have shown that, too, that, you know, women that put a little bit of makeup on, you know, just in the working world, are always more successful. And I think part of that has to do with confidence. They feel good about themselves and the way that they're expressing themselves out in the world, you know, that confidence comes back to them. So, Alana, what do you think about that?
I think that I'm anti-makeup, and I side with Alicia Keys on that side, that we just don't have to wear it to be successful. But I think that the study showed that the women who wear makeup are more successful because most women who are in position. Most women do not attend a workplace without makeup in the first place, so I don't think that's a very good study.
That's probably true. Yeah, no, I think there's something to that, too. And a part of
anything we're talking about, what is quality time for you? And so that's we're just throwing, I let my friend Mickey said something today in a call I was on. He said, I'm just throwing out some bait to see what I catch. I love that. So I'm throwing out some bait.
Some chum in the water.
Quality time for Alana is not makeup. Quality time for me is did a facial. Robin had got me some, thank you. Did a little bit of lipstick, did a little eyeliner, and, you know, I hadn't done that for a couple of days, and I really, it's not about, nobody else is going to see me. Well, of course, Alana saw me on Zoom. Weren't you impressed?
Right. And I said he was so beautiful today. I didn't even notice makeup. I just noticed the beautiful hair.
Well, thank you very much. So, but it made a difference for me. But that doesn't mean it makes a difference for anybody else, no matter what study, right?
So I think
that's the important thing. What is quality connection to you? And I love this. We didn't start out this way, my dear friends that are listening to us, that this connection, quality connection with ourselves. But, you know, that is so important. And however, whatever that is for you, that's perfectly fine. Don't judge what we think, right? But what is it for you?
Yeah. And I think it's just so, because that segment says is when you are distracted and scrolling through your phone, when your partner's talking to you about the day, they might feel like you just don't care about them and that what they have to say doesn't matter.
What are you talking about? I'm sorry, I wasn't listening. What were you saying?
Right? So that's just basically what I'm talking about. So how many times are you not paying attention to yourself when it comes to, you know, like, and I kind of really hear myself and know that that's important for me? And that's one thing that when Louise was doing the exercise, like in a workshop or something, she would have people do that, where they would actually look and, you know, and look into their own eyes and really speak to themselves. Yeah, a lot of people, and it's incredibly hard to do. It's one of the hardest things you can do. But, boy, if you can just allow yourself. So, you know, like I said, put a pin in it. You know, when you're getting ready for your day, you know, take a moment to just really kind of just lean into the mirror and look and just say, I love you. And I think that's such a powerful thing that you can say to yourself. Yeah, gosh, girl, you look fabulous, and I love you. Let's do this. We got this.
I've done that before.
I love you.
I've done that too, soul gazing to myself in the mirror and just, you know, pushing out any negative thought, bringing in only good thoughts, only good things. You know, I love your freckles. I love your blue eyes, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, you're such a sincere, good soul, you know.
Those kinds of things
really help.
And I love saying it's okay, you know, to say, you know, maybe I'm not happy with whatever. I don't feel like I get enough rest, even though I don't feel like I get enough rest. I still we think I'm beautiful.
Exactly.
Yes. Yes.
So, and then the second one is about active listening. And Amy, want to talk about active listening for a second? I think that would be good, just as a general, and then we'll kind of move into what that looked like, you know, listening for yourself.
Okay, let's do that, and then let's move you into the wisdom moment, the flower wisdom
the flower
moment.
Flower power moment.
Yeah, and then we can come back. But it's, I think, the most profound thing with listening. One of my favorite tools that I used to work with hospice people, volunteers, and teach them how to listen to people who are in hospice. And a lot of people are scared, right, to do that. And I'm like, you know what? You don't need to be doing anything but being present. And the most important tool I'm going to teach you is how to be silent and let mm-hmm. them share their story. They want you to witness that. And I know mm-hmm. in our world, it's challenging to be quiet and listen. And one of my favorite exercises, when I used to teach communication at University of Phoenix, I would during the quarter, their assignment was to find a partner and practice for 21 days that they would be silent for 2 minutes and the other person could talk about whatever they wanted, and then they would flip. And it was amazing how people learn. And it was tough, you know, because we're not used to not being quick in the response. So, but one of the most important gifts you can give somebody that you care about is silence in a healthy way, not in a silent treatment way. That's destructive. That's very, really mm-hmm. hurtful for a relationship. But silence that opens a space for people to kind of venture into, because, you know, we do these women groups, and we create a space where we're silent and that only that person talks, and then Native American, they talk about the talking stick. And in that mm-hmm. process, things come out of them they didn't even know was in them. What a gift for them.
Let's talk a second about the talking stick. So that basically the idea is there is a special stick, or it could be, you know, just anything that you signify. When that person is holding that, it basically shows that, you know, it's their time to share without anybody interrupting them. So just kind of put that out there for people who aren't familiar with that. So that makes me think, you know, having a self-care partner that you can get mm-hmm. together with, you know, at least maybe once a week and just say, okay, you know, 2 minutes go, or, you know, whatever, 5 minutes go, and just, like, let that person say. So it seems to me that 5 minutes would be super long, but depending on what's going on, maybe not.
Oh, yeah. Well, and not only that, but something that Alana and I have instigated is at 7 o'clock every morning, at 7 o'clock my time, 9 hers, or whatever time she wants it to be, that mm-hmm. I hold in sending her love. And I know I'm receiving hers, whether we're consciously doing it
yes.
or not.
Yes.
So get a love moment.
Yeah.
The love moment.
That's quality.
The
time
love
to me.
Moment. Sending you love all along the way. Yeah, that's good. And I think when it comes to just active listening, I think that's a really good invitation for journaling.
Mm.
To be able to put your, you know, pen to paper and allow yourself to write at least a page a day. And if you go for more than that, I think it's really important to do more than one. I ran into, I had created a journal, a journaling a kind of a notebook the other day that was, you have like it was basically, you know, all the stuff I want to let go of. I'm just going to write all that crap out, and I'm going to get rid of it. And then I'm going to reframe it. On the other side, I'm going to reframe page of the things that I want to be, just like Elena was talking about, you know, things I want to be appreciating and looking at and knowing that these things are great. So I'm going to let go, and then I'm going to reframe. And that really kind of puts you in a totally different place. So that's something that you can do every day. So 2 pages, I think, is really good. But, I mean, if you only can do one a day and it's a list of the activities you've got to get done for the day, that's great because you're connecting with yourself and you're listening and you're helping yourself to just, like, instead of trying to keep it all inside of yourself, you're putting down on paper so it's something that you can be sharing with yourself that can be just this personal thing that you look at and see where you're going with everything. So, okay. So we're going to move to the flower power moment, and it just popped in my mind that we were going to talk about the white daisy. And we've talked about chrysanthemums and stuff before on the show with some of the other flower powers that we've done, especially when we were doing our last book. And I think the reason that the daisy came in so strongly this time is I went to go visit Amy a couple weeks ago, and on my way over there, I wound up watching a YouTube that was on sacred geometry. And if you're not familiar with sacred geometry, it basically is about how everything mathematically was created in the world. And it's basically looking at measurements of putting everything together. And the way that the guy taught it was wonderful because he basically based it on the Masons. And back in the day, where Masons were basically the only ones that knew how to put together chapels and sacred spaces.
Mm-hmm.
And think about when you walk into some place that's been sacred, the measurements in that are based on nature. And it's called the golden mean. It's just like 1.3, and then it runs off into an infinite number in the way that it puts its numbers together. So when the largest room would be almost like half the next room and then half the next room. So there's this measurement of space. And we know that when we go in because we sense it. And what's really cool is that so those same measurements are within our bodies. So if you look at your shoulder, from your shoulder to your elbow, and then your elbow to your, you know, your wrist, and then your hand, and then your finger to your fingernail, everything breaks down into that golden mean for balance. And the reason I bring that up with the daisy is because daisies are based on that. Every flower has the golden mean in it, and the number of the amount of petals is this magical mean number that basically can go out there. And there's a series of all these numbers that are put together that have to do with sacred geometry. And I think that when you look at a daisy and the way that the center is really called, and it's the head, it's the tubular head, but all of those are tubes, and they're all we talked about this before, and Elena went nuts on it. So I'm ready for her to go nuts again. Are you ready? Okay.
Yes. Let me know before we go.
But every single little tubular flower that's on that is all a full flower. So think of all those
crazy
little flowers that are on the center of a daisy, right? It's crazy, crazy. They estimate there's 4,000 daisies on one daisy.
Oh my gosh! Wow, that's hard to. I can't wrap my head around.
Yeah,
that.
I can't like put your brain on that. So that's when we're talking about sacred geometry. That, you know, that's what we're talking about. It's just these numbers that nature just holds in basically a controlled chaos. And here we're talking about all this different change and stuff that were going on. We're talking about, you know, quality time with all these things. It's, you know, they found that there's over 4,000 species of daisies, just daisies. You know, not the other chrysanthemums, just daisies that are all over the planet. And they can grow everywhere. They can grow in Antarctica. They can grow in the desert. They grow everywhere. And what's really cool about that is they had found, and they said that they've been around for 4,000 years, okay, and that, you know, they found evidence that daisies were found at a caveman's burial site.
Wow.
Hmm.
So when it comes to just the length and longevity of a daisy, and to me, daisies are all about, you know, think of a plus sign of the connection of, you know, that it's all about the duality. You know, it's, the, you know, the this and the that and the and having everything being put together. But yet it moves in a spiraling energy that holds it all together. So when we talk about quality, we talk about relationships, we talk about things, you know, moving in this place that sometimes they don't necessarily make sense, they are making perfect sense. It's about allowing things to be. Because like one of the things that are symbolic for daisies is about simplicity. And if you think about all that I've just shared about, you know, the fact that a daisy is simple, which it, in some ways it really is in the way you look at it, but the, just the magnificence of putting that all together and having people, it's like it's not as it appears. We're not as we appear. When it comes to this magnificence of an expression of the core of our being holding, you know, 4,000 potential other daisies and then having these beautiful petals coming out that are so sensitive that every day they open and take in all the light from the sun, and then at the end of the day they close back up again and rest and basically go back to their center.
So would you call that the quality time?
That's totally quality time. So,
yeah.
You know, that's just an invitation to have the natural world being what it is. So, I mean, if you want to learn how to be able to do self-care for yourself and have quality time, you know, get yourself some daisies. And really look at them, just like you would be, you know, an invitation of looking at yourself in the mirror. Really allow yourself to look at them in a way that maybe you've not allowed yourself before. I think that can be something that
could
be very, very...
Could you hold the daisy? Could Can you hold the daisy with some tweezers and do I love me not?
Oh, yeah.
I love that.
Although Robin, I think, would have a problem if you ripped the daisy apart, but you know.
Wow, you know what? That's your thing. If you want that karma, you go ahead, you know. But I mean, if you took those daisies and you actually put them out into the soil around you, they're all seeds.
Mm-hmm.
It's potential seeds that
you're
putting out there. So it really allows the earth to be able to bring it, take it back and do something with it. So I think if you do it in a mindful way and you know, it's the intention for the, you know, in the intention of the attention that you put on it and have it,
mm-hmm.
you know, you bring it back to the soil and you thank it for helping you to process or whatever you needing to do. I think, I don't think any plant's not going to mind them being a part of the, you know, helping you to process what you need to do. And, you know, they're here to help us to just be in our magnificence.
I know.
Yes.
Rituals
yes.
that just came to my mind when you said that, you know, is that you could take a daisy and the one, I love me not, kind of, I honor you, I let you go. And then the one, I love
mm-hmm.
you, maybe you take the I love yous and plant those. And the I don't
mm-hmm.
love yous, honor that. Yeah, okay. Maybe that's true
mm-hmm.
for me. Let it go.
Yeah.
That could really
and being
be
able
fun
to
action.
Do the processing thing. And it makes me think of while I was with Amy, we were watching a couple, we watched like a morning show that was talking about, you know, how people are dealing with the fact they can't be with people for the holidays. And they said, you know, get the same bouquet that you have and send it to that other person.
Mm-hmm.
So they have the same flowers
yeah.
that you do. And I can't tell
yeah.
you how powerful that is to have the same flowers as you do with another person. It's very powerful because you've got the same whispers of what the flowers are having for both of you, and you're sharing that. And it's another way of having this very unique energetic link between two, you know, two people that are far away from one another. It's very profound. It's like giving
yeah.
somebody, you have daisies and you give daisies to somebody else. You know, it's the daisy chain.
I
love
that.
The daisy chain.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So it can be very profound with all that. So, you know, it isn't, you know, the typical poinsettias and all the other stuff since we're doing this at Christmas time. But I think that's something that can be very, like I said, it's something that you can just like, you know, have a silk daisy in your car that you look at and just kind of remind yourself of that. You know, and when you have opportunities to appreciate daisies, just, you know, notice they're growing out of the sidewalk. Notice they're growing out of the asphalt. Notice they're just out there just expressing, you know, I love it. Like in California, we have these beautiful little baby yellow daisies that grow pretty much most of the year that are just like all over by the roads. And they're just the cutest little daisies that are just, it's just a smile on your way to wherever you're going to go. And they're just there just like going, hey, how's it going? So I just love that. So, yeah. So just like, you know, take the, you know, yet I said it's like it can be a very simple thing, but there's a clarity and a potential that's so prolific. And we're just at the cusp of having all these new things coming into the world that are so exciting. You know, take an opportunity to reflect on the things that you're willing to let go with, like Amy said, with the petals. I let go of this, but yet I own that. And having a place where you can just really be a place of what it is and what it isn't, and having a new clarity and awareness of where you want to be going for the new year with 2021. So I think it's going to be just really an exciting thing to, you know, you're kind of this little secret you've got going. I'm making it look like I've got simple thought, but yet there's so much that's profound beyond it.
Mm-hmm. I love that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Moving on.
So Alana.
You
want to drop your quote on us? I'm excited. I've been waiting all day for this.
She can't wait.
Oh,
okay.
Bless you.
We're quoting.
So, as I was looking for quotes to do with quality time, I found a lot of guilt-ridden, shame-ridden quotes, and I found them rather hilarious in my higher self looking down at these quotes, and I thought I would share a couple. Pro tip number 5, without quality time, your relationship will not survive. Don't. Exactly. I love that. But this was one of my favorites right here. Sometimes just spending some quality time with good friends is the only therapy you need. And the first thought that came to my head was, do not ask your friends to be your therapist.
Amen.
And go ahead and go get therapy.
Amen. Yeah.
And spend quality time with your friends, just being a friend.
Yep. Yeah,
exactly. That's a really good point. Both of those points really are, you know, and that's so fascinating. And I honor you, my friend, for your honesty about, you know, the guilt trip they try to give us about this quality time thing.
Yes.
Especially now when we've had a lot of quantity time and maybe there's some quality in it. But, you know, when you know they're there and they're not going anywhere, it's almost like the quality is evaporating out of the time.
Yeah.
Right. Yes, exactly. That's what, like when the quantity just gets so great, the quality has diminished. But I think that, like for my family, we found some time to, like, even, you know, we have been in our house since March. And so this has been like... really good for us in ways that we found time to, we found some things that we like to do together that we normally probably wouldn't have done before, or we did them a little bit before, but we shoved them in between the hubbub.
Yeah, right.
But now we've been able to then like focus and be like do it intentionally, and you know, make that's a big highlight of the day is to go ahead and do that, you know. So it also learning so much more about each other because we have that, because the quantity does equal up into quality at some point. You know, you can't just be like, oh, I'm having surgical time with someone, right? Like, you can't have the quality without the quantity. That's what I'm saying.
So I think, and for me, if we can slide into the mindful moment with all this.
Yes.
What came to me, now adding this thing about ourselves and our higher self or soul, however you want to look at that, and making that quality time, and what would that look like? So I want to challenge, you know, each of us, you know, anybody that's on this, you know, listens to this podcast in the future, what does quality time with me and my soul look like? I know for our dear friend Kristen, it's being out in nature. That's where she finds it. For me, one of my guilty pleasures, I have all these amazing books who are my friends. I love them. And I spend as much time as I can in the morning before I hit the computer, before I hit my schedule. Sometimes it's only a few minutes. Sometimes it's a luxury of maybe an hour. Having that time and playing with it. And that's when, you know, I know you guys see texts from me and, you know, Facebook posts and like, oh, God, she's in that cave and stuff flying out of there. That's my soul time. All right, so knowing that about yourself, and you may not know. So what I want to say to each of you, you may not know, or you may think you know, but maybe there's some things you need to try, maybe some creative way, or, you know, be open to what that looks like. And just in general with your, you know, certainly with yourself and your higher self, your soul, but with other people in your life, make sure that it's quality time, that it's quality to them, not just to you. And it doesn't have to be a lot, I don't believe, but I think it needs to be something that really is of value to them. And how do you know that? You ask them.
Absolutely. I think that's, like, one of the things that we do is, you know, we give the kids, you know, we get to do what you want to do right now, you know, that they get to choose the activity. And that's so meaningful for them. You know, they really appreciate that. So to get to have the time with us, but to also you know, decide what it's going to be.
And especially when there's a lot of people in the house, you know, Robert and I come from a family of seven, and unfortunately we did not get to spend too much quality time with each of our parents, which would have been nice.
Right.
But, you know, but we didn't get to do that. So if you can, even if it's just a few minutes here and there, to really be able to see each other as individuals, not as a big gaggle.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yes.
I think that's one thing I really learned with my family is I really went out of my way to really encourage my husband to take each of the daughters and go, you know, have one-on-ones with them by themselves.
Really?
Yeah, because that's something that we didn't have, you know, growing up. You know, with five daughters, it's like, we all go here, we all go there, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
Well, the good thing is when they were mad
one-on-one.
Right, yeah. When they were mad
at
them,
yeah.
Screaming names. And by the time they got 2 years, you could be gone. So that was good.
Yeah, but I mean, yeah, and if you did get one-on-one time, it's usually when you were in trouble.
Yeah. Well, isn't that a good
yeah.
point?
Yeah,
so
I want to kind of reconsider when it comes to stuff like that.
Exactly.
I bet there's a lot of people like that.
Absolutely. So I want to round out the year. So next week we're going to be talking about the fifth language of love, which is gifts, you know, getting ready for Christmas. And then our last show of the year is December 15th. Oh, and yay. So, you know, we'll be done with the year. So that'll be, we're going to look at, and what we want to be thinking about is honoring yourself for what you did accomplish in 2020 and maybe how you grew, just beating yourself up and kind of getting ready for what's next. And on January 5th, Katie Fitzgerald is going to come talk to us and work with us about getting ready for this amazing new year we're going to have. And then Alana has brought this beautiful book to the table, Faith for the Unbeliever, by Daniel Chesney Cantor, and it is one of my favorite books. I love, love, love this book. Thank you for that gift. So that'll be January 12th, 19th, and 26th, and we're hoping to have him come join us. I love how he writes. I love how he thinks. It really helped me to kind of look at my spiritual beliefs and how I live them in a new way.
That's a big mouthful.
Reverend Cantor is a really great, great speaker, and he's so kind, and he's also quite funny without meaning to be sometimes, maybe.
Yes, that's the best, right?
I enjoy him. Yes, I enjoy his
teaching. So things to look forward to for the rest of the year and into the new year. We, and as always, want to thank all of our followers in the cafe, and still love your comments, and want to encourage everybody to go over to our Facebook and the Transformation Cafe community. I'd love to hear from you for just different insights and things that you're having as you listen to these shows. Let us know if there's anything that you'd like us to be looking at for the new year. We look forward to that as well. And as always, I want to thank you for joining us here at the cafe.
Good quality time, friends.
Woo-hoo!
We hope you enjoyed listening to the Transformation Cafe podcast. To learn more, visit transformation-cafe.com for show notes, guest information, and links to previous shows. You can also subscribe to the Transformation Cafe podcast on iTunes. Join us again next time at the Transformation Cafe, a fun place to nourish your soul.